The playoffs are near, and we have an army. Nation Gear is ready to gear you up for Vancouver's playoff run. Rep your favorite team as they battle for the cup. Shop the exclusive We Have an Army playoff tee and more at nationgear.ca.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Can you see it? Did you know?
Checked, but the puck comes right to Pettersson, who tries a bank pass for Besser. In with a shot, he scores!
A moment's notice. Adams leaves.
To the line, Hughes, Jones!
Yes, existence. Take you to listen.
First career NHL goal. Quinn Hughes makes it 1-0.
You're listening to Canucks Conversation.
Quinn Hughes beat reporter here. Like, I don't cover the Canucks. Yeah. I cover Quinn Hughes and what he's doing to the Canucks.
A member of the Nation Network of Podcasts and delivered by DoorDash.
Just wave the guy and get Demko involved. I wanted him in and down.
Wow. We should do a radio show together. Right on. I want to fist bump you right now.
What our house. Pearl steals, cutting in, shoots, scores!
Public display is that what you need?
They slay the dragon!
Existence.
Don't waste all the good stuff on the off-air, let's go.
Hello, Canucks fans, and welcome back to another episode of the Canucks Conversation, brought to you by the great folks at Zephyr Epic. You can use promo code HOCKEYSEASON, capital H, capital S, all one word, hockey season. That will get you $5 off your order at Zephyr Epic. Zephyr Epic is your one-stop shop for all of your trading card needs, whether that be the Pokemon, the Yu-Gi-Oh, the basketball, the hockey cards that we are partial to. Zephyr Epic has got you covered. Zephyr Epic. Go check them out on all platforms, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, all of that fun stuff. Zephyr Epic ships free anywhere in Canada on any order over $50 from
Terrace to Two Good Arm, Newfoundland.
Zephyr Epic ships free Canada-wide, so go check them out. Once again, that is Zephyr Epic on all platforms.
And
they
once
also
again,
got a retail location.
That is Two Good Arm, Newfoundland. So I've added Newfoundland cities to my list here of cities. There are some hilarious names in Newfoundland. So I'll be getting to those in the next couple weeks here.
I'm very excited for that. We're also delivered to you by the great folks at DoorDash.
Ding dong.
Faber went for a sip of his iced coffee. Didn't know I was going to introduce DoorDash. But DoorDash, we have a promo code with them too. Use ConvoDD, capital C, capital D's, all one word, ConvoDD. That will get you 25% off and free delivery on your first order with the DoorDash app. So if you haven't done so yet, go download DoorDash. Use that promo code. There you go. Does not get much better than that, folks. My name is David Quadrelli. I am joined, as always, by the man who built the place, Chris Faber, and a very special guest who we have been joking around gouges us for all of the money we earn, Harmon Dial.
Hey, guys.
I called Harm for a Sportsnet hit, and I had to call his hotel because he didn't have his phone on America. And the way that they answered was like, "Hello, this is blah 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 hotel, the finest establishment in the New York downtown strip, blah blah blah, and all this fancy dancy stuff." And I said, "Geez, that's where our Patreon money's going. Harmon's paying for upgrades, going to the top hotels in New York."
No, I promise you, that New York hotel, it was in a really nice location. It was a fine hotel. The Toronto one was really nice. That was the one.
Well,
where thank you to the Athletic.
You've got a story. You almost got robbed.
Yes, I did, and that's why I was telling you, it can't be that nice of a hotel if I nearly got robbed in New York. Yeah, I mean, it was Thursday, so my last day in New York City. I spent a week there. And it was the day of the Islanders game. And so I'm generally a pretty light sleeper, thank God. And so I was literally turning in my sleep and I hear my door open. And I just see this random white guy standing there looking at me, just like caught like a deer in the headlights. And I just immediately started shouting and swearing and basically just like, what the hell is going on type thing. And the guy just immediately turned and like dashed off. But yeah, I could, you know what it was too? I realized, you know how most hotel doors lock, like auto lock when you close the door?
Yeah.
This one apparently didn't. So like my door was fully like closed, right? And you figure once, like I always check my handle anyway when I'm leaving.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, I'm not in the hotel room. But when you're in your hotel for the night and the door closes and you know most hotel rooms auto lock, I mean, I didn't think to, in from inside my own hotel room, double check that it's like fully secured or fully locked. So even though it was fully closed and fully like latched optically, apparently it's a thing around some of these hotels where you can just like nudge and see if they kind of open up anyway. And so I got lucky there. My laptop was probably about out in plain sight, but like 6 to 8 feet away from the guy, from where the guy was standing. So close call there.
Holy smoke. Well, I see, for me, I'm paranoid. So I always put the deadbolt on. I put every defense mechanism there is in that hotel room on full blast as soon as I go to bed. But man, that is scary. We wouldn't have seen that JT Miller article.
I know.
Unbelievable. Maybe, Dave Chappelle, he was just a big Athletic fan, big VIP guy.
Yeah, I'm sure you're locking all the hotel rooms now, though. Like now, quads, like,
I know
you're going to be doing the quads effect on the door and just deadbolt locks everything,
pulling out all the furniture against the door.
Little mop bucket on top for someone if they open the door and drops water on them.
It's like the Home Alone.
Yeah, Home Alone.
Hit him with tar and a bunch of feathers.
Home Alone featuring Harmon Dial and David Quadrelli.
Aside from that, though, Harm, I think we brought this up maybe on the Patreon. You also got to take in a comedy show. So wait, you went on this road trip because Durant's dog broke his foot or something? Was that it?
I think, his pup basically got injured and Wallace, of course. And so he couldn't go on the trip. And him and I usually do a draft or like that's what we did for this season where we like pick road trips. That way it's kind of divided in an equitable way. So my like first pick was the Vegas, Colorado, Anaheim one.
Yeah.
And then I think one of his first picks was this New York one. And then so he couldn't go and he was like, "Hey, can you go?" I was like, "Yeah, sure. I'll go to New York and Toronto." And so, yeah, I wasn't even supposed to be on that trip, but.
Thanks.
And then
what happened?
Okay. Yeah. So the comedy show. So New York has this place called the Comedy Cellar, and it's just kind of like this little dive bar-y type scene. I think it's only got capacity for like 50 to 100 people, and it's meant to kind of be this low-key spot where you have like good local comedians, and they don't really announce who's going to come beforehand. And especially on a Tuesday night, I mean, tickets are cheap, like $14. So I was like, okay, like I don't watch a lot of stand-up comedy, but I like comedy in general. Like if I'm throwing on a movie, there's a good chance it's a comedy movie. So I was like, why the hell not? Seems like it's a pretty well-reviewed spot. So bought tickets, went down, and first two local performers go, and they're pretty good. And then Dave Chappelle and Chris Rock just like randomly decide to show up and go for an hour and a half. And I was close enough to the point where even when Dave Chappelle was coming off stage, I was like looking at him because he's leaving, of course, and he could see me looking at him, and he like shakes my hand, and I'm like, big VIP right there, Dave Chappelle.
Yes, yes. Who's Dave Chappelle's favorite Canuck? That's the real question.
Probably JT Miller.
I can see him really JT liking Miller. JT Miller. The profanity probably ranks him pretty high.
How cool was that, though, Harm? Like, to literally, like, two of the best comedians of, like, our era, maybe of all time, like, it can be up there for sure. And people argue that, but, like, they are two of the best. Like, what was it like to be, like, in that, like, small of an environment?
It was crazy because it was such an intimate sort of environment. And, you know, he's just cracking jokes at the expense of, like, the little audience right in front of the right in front of us. And I mean, it was pretty unbelievable to kind of see their set. I've never seen them really perform. I don't really watch stand-up comedy, so I didn't even really, I haven't like seen their shows or whatever on Netflix or their specials or anything like that. But I mean, they were just, it was more just like, I don't know, talking as if they were kind of friends thing. And I think my favorite joke was when Chris Rock went, he was explaining when the only time he's ever had to apologize for a joke, he's like, he was performing at the spot and Rick Ross was in the audience. And he's like, Rick Ross is going to be the first rapper to die of breast cancer.
Oh my God.
So they were really good.
Oh man.
Oh, that's awful. All right.
Hold on. Last one for me. Sure. Just about the New York trip. What was the best restaurant you went to, or was it peanut butter and jelly sandwiches every night?
No, it was, I really enjoyed Parm. It was an Italian spot recommended by Drance. It was kind of like this chicken Parmesan sub, and it was unbelievable.
Okay.
A really good Italian spot. Quasi, if you ever go to New York, you got to hit it up.
Okay. Noted. I'm going to actually have to do it. I'm planning on going to New York soon, so I'll get that from you. All right. Let's hop into some Canucks talk.
I got no drive to go to New York at all, personally. I just don't think New York's the spot for me.
Okay.
Just want to get that out there.
Thank you so much for sharing.
Something about that. There's too many people bumping around everywhere, and I don't know. It's
not enough bumping and grinding for...
No, there's no grinding. It's just people bumping around, and then there's rats everywhere. You see any rats in the... That's what I see.
Well, the biggest thing that surprised me about New York is people just walk. Like doesn't matter if it's rush hour and it's a red light. People just walk. Nobody cares about cars in New York. And it was actually got kind of bad because... Then I got in the habit of, like, when you're in these crowds, it's, like, safety in numbers. But then a couple times when it's, like, you're at the start of it, I just got in the habit of, like, not even looking both ways and just walking. And so when you're on, like, 3-4 hours of sleep, probably not the best thing. And a couple honks at me for sure. But, yeah.
It was good to see you making friends over there, too, Harm. Making a few friends here and there in New York?
Yeah, no, it was, I mean, when you're traveling alone, you just...
Make friends. That's what you like to see. And you got some good picks, too, though. Was that in Times Square, the picture you got? That was a good one.
Friends, see, that's where you make them, and they take fire photos for you.
Excellent. That was good. All right, Quads, what do you got? Let's get to some Canucks stuff.
Thank you. 7-2-1 in their last 10, guys. The Vancouver Canucks are 1 point out of a playoff spot at the time of this recording. We're actually going to put this out on Wednesday. We're recording it Wednesday morning, so it all makes sense. But 1 point back, obviously the Dallas Stars have 3 games in hand. Harmon, when we look at this playoff picture, I think the focus has kind of shifted to third place in the Pacific because Vegas has just fallen off. They've lost Robin Lehner. No one really knows when he's going to come back. He's expected to be out at least 2 more weeks. What are you looking at when you look at this playoff picture? Because, you know, like Vegas has 62 games, Canucks only have 61. So for the Canucks to be only a point back of Vegas, it looks like now the team is going to be Edmonton. That's going to be the team to beat for the Canucks because it really looks like Vegas is just going to fall off here. What are you looking at when you see this playoff picture?
Yeah, I think Vegas is in a real spot of bother here. And obviously, we know how talented they are. But like you mentioned, they're missing Robin Lehner. They're missing their captain, Mark Stone. They're without another really good top six forward in Riley Smith. And Alec Martinez, and this is, I think, one of their most underrated injuries on the back end. He hasn't played the entire year, and he's been such a stabilizing force for the Golden Knights ever since he sort of joined the team. And so then you look at the top four, and it's just the back end isn't quite the same. It's still a decent, obviously, back end with Petrangelo and Theodore, and you guys know how big a fan of Zach Whitecloud I am, but it's not the same Vegas that we've sort of seen in years past. And obviously Jack Eichel's taking a while to get back up to speed. And it's funny because even 3 weeks ago, I thought to myself, when everyone was getting hyped about Eichel's return, I thought to myself, kind of, Vegas is going to be great on paper, but I just don't know if this is going to be their year, just because all these injuries, finding a groove, finding your rhythm, and especially the way the season kind of started, and to have a mid-season trade. And I don't think the Golden Knights, when I looked at their first 20 games, they were like one of the worst defensive teams in the NHL in terms of the quality of the chances they surrendered. And I was thinking, that's just not Vegas hockey. That's not the Vegas Golden Knights I know. So it hasn't been too surprising to see them kind of go on the skid, and we'll see if they make a coaching change. I would love to see them fire DeBoer, go with Travis Green and have those storylines. Oh, Travis Green with Vegas versus the Canucks for a playoff spot. Oh, sign me up. But yeah, I think Vegas looks vulnerable. Even the Kings have been banged up recently. I think Drew Doughty missed the last couple of games. Dustin Brown a couple of games ago got banged up. Victor Arvidsson's been out. Mikey Anderson and Matt Roy, another couple of big back-end pieces for LA, they've been hurt. So you look at a lot of those teams and competitors that the Canucks are facing. It's turning into a bit of a turtle derby for a lot of these other teams. And I think, kind of like you mentioned, it's so important now. Obviously, we won't be too picky if they get into the playoffs. I mean, that alone is good enough. Beggars can't be choosers. But if they could find a way to sneak into that third spot, you're also putting yourself in a position to give yourself a legit shot to do something once you're in the playoffs, because the second place team in the Pacific isn't really going, you're not going to be scared of them versus
it's LA. It's going
to
be LA.
Exactly. And you contrast that to, say, a scenario where the Canucks end up with the second wildcard spot. It's like, great, we made it. Now we've got Colorado, which, I mean, they would still have a shot. You always have a shot when Thatcher Demko's in net, and anything can happen in the playoffs to a certain extent. But I'd much rather fancy my chances against a team like LA than Colorado. In a situation like that, I mean, a team like LA would kind of be, it's a coin flip, right? Like, it's a really, really close shot. And once you win a round, and I mean, then from that point, who knows what can kind of happen. So if you're the Canucks, it's really got to motivate you to look ahead. And I think the balance of this homestand too. Now you've got three more at home, and two of those include dates with Detroit and Buffalo. Like, this has got to be your opportunity to really make up ground and start to leapfrog. Especially at a time now where the Canucks are, I think, playing with a lot of confidence. I mean, we heard Quinn Hughes last night after the game talking about, well, it just feels like we're never going to lose two in a row again. I mean, nobody needs to tell Quinn that they literally lost two just before they actually beat New Jersey, but OT losses don't count. And you know what? That just goes to speak to, I think, the belief that the group has in themselves right now. And when you have your leaders at the top starting to lead the way, and even when I look at this homestand, guys, 2-1-1, but you look back at each of those games, and I think win or loss, you could draw a lot of confidence from each of those, right? You started off beating Montreal comfortably in cruise control most of the game against a team that was starting to see the Marty St. Louis bump after against Washington. You lose an OT, pick up the point, you come back from the 2-0 deficit, you had the fluke bounce that went against you, the officiating that went against you. That was a game where the Canucks should have lost just on the balance of how many things went against them, and for them to still climb back and pick up a point, I think that showed strong resolve. Obviously, you don't like to start against Tampa, but for 50 minutes, that was a really strong effort, and Andrei Vasilevsky really kept Tampa, propped them up, and again, that without Elias Pettersson, and then to see him put New Jersey away pretty comfortably, again, without Elias Pettersson, I think this is a group that's really feeling themselves, and I'm really excited to see how this group responds.
I found it so interesting, too, hearing Quinn Hughes talk post game in that Washington Capitals game about, hey, you know, it was nice to get a point. That's kind of like almost what all of us reporters were setting up. Like, hey, you come down into that third period, you're down 2-0, and you get a point out of it. We were all like, wow, that's good for you. Like, good for you guys against a really good team in Washington. But to hear Quinn Hughes be like, no, like, that was a letdown for them not getting the win in that game because they had a lead in the third period. Like, the mentality behind the players right now is just, it is night and day difference from what we've seen the first 25 games now on into.
They're playing to win rather than playing to lose.
Yeah. And that is such a good thing.
I messed that up. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to get you.
I got what you're saying. Yeah. It's very impressive to see, like, what And I think a lot of people bring this up about like how much different like a mentality can change with a coach. I also just think that like the organization has gone through such a change that have made the players so much more invested and confident in themselves, right? Like this was a roster that we believe could make the playoffs coming into this year. A lot of people did, and some people didn't, but a lot of people, especially on this show, did. And to see them now playing like that, it is so impressive to see what Bruce Boudreau has been able to do with this team. And you look at how things are going to play out here. The rest of this homestand, you mentioned it, Detroit, Calgary, and then back-to-back with Buffalo on the weekend. Massive games. Like, I'm really curious to see what the goaltending looks like in those next three games. We've like, have you guys thought that maybe Thatcher Demko is starting to, you know, feel it a little bit? Like, this guy has been leaned on really hard, and it's not like it's, like, I'm not saying it's a bad thing, because, like, literally, this guy has been leaned on like crazy over the past basically 6 weeks, it feels like, you know, and maybe the whole season, really. But I'm curious, like, Quads, you're the goalie guy. You can play your goalie segment if you want. But what do you think the starts are going to look like this next, basically all up until the trade deadline?
Thank you for setting that up.
Oh, yeah, he shouldn't have done that public knowledge. That's a big no-no. I don't know. You know, I can't really give the time and date, or else I feel like Nona Shu will be flying across North America, right, and hit me in the head.
I think we spent half an hour talking about a backup goaltender.
All right, get out of here, Woodley.
All right. Faber's going to be.
Faber's going to be very pissed. So, you know, I don't like to say bad things about goaltenders. We should just get the Sportsnet voice guy version on here. What are they going to do? I work for them.
Yeah, but I can find a big voice guy.
Yeah.
I know a couple.
I know a couple of big voice guys.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Goalie talk.
But so, Al Murdoch shut us down. He says he's a TTP guy.
Yeah. Al Murdoch. We respect it, though. We respect it. We respect Al Murdoch's wishes. Okay. So here's what I think about the Canucks goaltending situation, guys. Thatcher Demko didn't practice Saturday when the Canucks were at 8 rinks, not Scotia Barn, when they practiced there. Also, Scotia Barn, in case there's legal ramifications for me saying that. Scotia Barn's the place that they practiced. The Canucks practiced there. Thatcher Demko got the day off. Maintenance day. When I talked to Bruce Boudreau about this, he said when he had Jonas Hiller and rode him for, what was it, 32 games, something like that.
Yep.
He said the thing we did was he didn't practice. So this suggests to me that Thatcher Demko is not only going to be playing this back-to-back, but as long as the Canucks are in the playoff race, he's going to be playing every game from here on out. Until it's over, I don't think Jaro Halak's getting another start. I worry about that. Thatcher Demko, and again, the goals, I hate to ever say the goals are the goaltender's fault, but I was talking to Kevin Woodley about this in the press box, and that first goal that Demko let in against New Jersey, he had time to get square, get set to stop that shot, and you could see it on his body language. He didn't like that he got beat by that shot. I would say there were one or two goals last night that Thatcher Demko got beat by that it's just a save he usually makes. It's not necessarily one that you say, oh, that's on the goaltender, because of course there was a defensive breakdown in front of him because this is Canucks hockey, but that's a goal that, or sorry, that's a shot that Thatcher Demko usually stops. He has time to get set. You kind of expect him to make that save. It's a low quality shot to let in for Thatcher Demko. Again, not trying to, you know, rag on the guy too much, but it's just a goal that he usually stops. And I'd be a little bit worried. Again, obviously this is the biggest workload of his career. First year as an actual starter. I'd be a little bit worried about riding him so hard, but I also don't think the alternative is worth testing. Like, I don't think it's worth running Jaro Halak, because I don't think you're getting a win if you put Jaro Halak in net. You need wins right now. Like, by our calculations, I think the Canucks have six losses left to give on the season if they want to control their own destiny. That'll get them to 97 points. And I think only twice in history a team has gotten to 97 points and not made the playoffs. So Canucks need all the points they can get right now. I don't think they're getting them with Jaro Halak in net. So I worry about riding the wheels off of Demko, but I'm also like, if Demko's not healthy anyway, you're not making the playoffs and you're not doing anything in the playoffs. So I think when you weigh all the factors, I think what the Canucks are going to do, and again, we're recording this Wednesday, there's a practice at 11 a.m. that we're going to attend. So by the time this is out, you'll see it on Canucks Army, you'll see it on Twitter. I'm just guessing today's an off day for Thatcher Demko. I think Thatcher Demko gets the day off today. This is just me guessing. I haven't been told this. This is just me purely speculating. And if he does, of course, I'll ask Bruce Boudreau what this means for the plan. As far as what I'm assuming it means is that Demko is going to be playing the back-to-backs. I don't think Jarholak's going to play many more games for the Canucks this year.
Yeah, and so a couple things there. One, I do agree that Demko hasn't looked as sharp as he normally does. He looks a little bit fatigued for sure. Just in terms of, you mentioned the first, I think it was the Graves goal, but then there was another one. I can't remember who it was by, but I think it was a counterattack where Demko stopped the initial one, but he let the rebound right in front.
Well, okay, so with that one, and I know which one you're talking about, it was the Nathan Bastian goal. Mm-hmm. So that went off Demko's mask, and you can't really control a rebound when it goes off your mask.
Fair
what
enough.
You can do, though, is keep your pad flush to the ice, and that's something Demko didn't do. He didn't get much help from his defenseman, don't get me wrong, and that is a goal that scored because New Jersey's just so fast and first on pucks. You know, it happens, but again, that's one that Thatcher definitely would like to have back, right? You know, he could have got some help from his defenseman clearing that puck, absolutely, but again, it's hard to control a rebound when it's off your head, so I'm not saying like, oh, well, that's a problem with rebound control. Because
for
again,
sure,
you
yeah.
Can't
sorry,
really control
I should
it
have phrased it better. It's just one of those goals where Demko doesn't leave the puck out and
yeah,
like right out in front of him,
totally
type thing.
Sure,
in that situation, most times because of the caliber of goaltender he is. And now, on the other hand, I will say is a positive, as a silver lining, it has been really encouraging to see the Canucks pick up wins here without them having to lean on Demko so heavily to
exactly.
To sort of save the day and be unbelievable for them. Like, even when you look back at, say, even going back to the road trip, say the Toronto win. Yeah, Demko was great in closing that out in the final 10 minutes, but the Canucks, I think, played a really strong road game in that one. And I think the last game where Demko really had to steal one, and even in that one, I thought they played well once they got their legs going, was the Rangers game. Unless there's another one that I may be missing. And so, I mean, on the other hand, I would like to point out, I guess, that positive that the team isn't completely reliant on goaltending during this stretch. But you're right. And it is especially interesting because they've got this back-to-back. And then, boy, they go on the road and they're playing three games in four nights. And they're playing tough teams. I think they start with Colorado. I don't remember the exact order,
back
but they've
to back
also got
with Minnesota right after that.
Yeah, Minnesota,
and then Dallas. So another team that you're chasing, like that's the 3-4 right there, which is just an absolute grind. That's why you look to this homestand and you saw so many teams that are, you know, bottom feeders, and you have to pick out the points against them.
Yeah, and even once you're done with those three games and four stands, you've got you're on the road against St. Louis. You get them back. You get St. Louis back. At home, and we know how the Blues have been rolling this season. And then not too long after, you've got a couple big games against Vegas to start April. So this is a huge stretch, and the travel and schedule is really, I think, heavy here. So, I mean, this is where it's just kind of unfortunate that Halak has the NMC, right? And you can't, it's just, I think, a shame that you can't have Spencer Martin in this situation kind of backing Demko up, because he clearly is, I think, at this point, the team's second best goaltender. And I do think in an ideal world, you would be able to find Demko, you know, maybe not on, you pick your poison. Maybe you would let Demko start both of the back-to-backs on only one of them, right? So you either pick the back-to-back on the homestand or the one on the road coming up, and you go, okay, Demko's got this back-to-back, both legs of them, and then we'll give him a night off on the other one. But you're right, Quads. I think it would be a really ballsy move at this point to even consider going with Halak for one of these starts. So unless Demko's really starting to feel fatigued, I think we're going to continue to see him getting the starts here.
I'm just thinking, I don't think the decision's made right now. I think it comes after Saturday. And like, seeing what the Calgary right. Flames do to Thatcher Demko. And at the same time, like, I'm sure that the Canucks are actively trying to move Halak, right?
Yeah.
I think that's obvious. And with the trade deadline on Monday, we may not even have to have this conversation on Sunday if Spencer Martin is the guy. The other thing is, like, Spencer Martin is playing games. Like, he is in rhythm right now. He's playing a lot of games. This March that we've had in the AHL, March is like the month where everything really cranked up. They're back to playing midweek games. It's not just weekend games anymore. So, like, you could say that Spencer Martin, like, is in a way better groove than Jaroslav Halak. And if you believe that Spencer Martin is the better goalie right now and has proved that this season, to me, like, if you're really going for a win And even if you are playing a backup goalie on in Buffalo, because I don't think they're going to end up going back to back. To me, like actually putting, like I know Halak's been around the NHL a long time and it's going to, you know, hurt his feelings or whatever that he's not, maybe doesn't get the start. To me, Spencer Martin is the better option if you're going back to back. Spencer Martin's playing every second day, every third day right now in the AHL. He's been playing really good. Like his last eight games have been excellent. He's sitting at like a 940 save percentage in the AHL. Even just like going with, not even like going with your gut, but like just going with who's been better and even like who's in a rhythm over the past 2 months. To me, it's like, it feels like it's like a risky move just to even like say it out loud, but it's also in my eyes, like a no brainer that it should be Spencer Martin instead of Yaroslav Halak at this point. And I know that like, it's going to suck because Halak's trying to play for another contract. Right. And I just think this happens to goalies where if he doesn't have an NMC, like we've seen decently like high named goalies like around the league who have been veterans get sent to the AHL. Like it happens.
Hudobin.
It happens all the time. And like, you know, that the player will have to pass through waivers, but obviously you can't do that with Halak here at the NMC. But from the Canucks perspective, like putting in the best goalie in a back-to-back situation, if Demko is starting to look tired, and I think you have to just judge this off of the Saturday game. But if he is, you know, against a Buffalo team that isn't that strong offensively and is giving up a ton of goals on the road, you might want to go. I think they're number one in the league at goals against on the road. So, like, this would be the time where I would go with Spencer Martin on Sunday. And to me, like I said, it's a no-brainer to me.
And they do have the LTIR room to actually do that. And Harmon, something you pointed out to me very recently, is that Thatcher Demko doesn't have a full day off in all of 2022, like the calendar year.
Yeah, it's actually kind of nuts because obviously the couple games where he was backing up Halak was not very good and had to be pulled. But
and you know what? I'm sorry, but and I know this is also like Ian Clark wears an earpiece and helps make this decision, I believe, but that's partly on Bruce Boudreaux.
You had to leave him in. Your job is backup. Sure, you might have lost the game, but you've got to give the starter a night off.
You've got to take the bullet there. Like, that's your job as a backup, is you've got to give him that night off, especially when it's Demko. So,
and he had COVID too, right? Those are the only games he missed in January. So even when he was out, he was dealing with COVID. So,
all right, we'll cut to break. On the other side, we'll do our poll question, which is goaltending related. That's kind of relates to this whole conversation we had. And then we'll talk about the Canucks power play and a few more topics. So keep it locked, keep it loaded on Canucks Conversation.
And before we go any further into the episode, want to give a shout out to Parallel 49 Brewing. You guys can find Parallel 49 beer all across BC and Alberta. And right now we want to give a quick shout out to the Unparalleled Pack featuring four of the P49 favorites, the Trash Panda, the Filthy Dirty, the Jerkface 9000, and the Hillbilly Ninja. My favorite of the four there, the Jerkface 9000, the pink can. Something good about those cans there at Parallel 49. So go out and try them. You can find them in most liquor stores across BC and Alberta.
And a massive thank you to all of our sponsors here at the Canucks Conversation Podcast. Speaking of which, Chris, it is time, and Harmon, sorry, Harmon, didn't mean to exclude you. It is time for our episode 246 poll question brought to you by Atlas Goods. Go to atlasgds.com and use promo code CC15 to get 15% off your first order of pop rinds. You've heard us talk about them before. They are the best fresh pork rinds that come straight from your air fryer. They are like pork rinds you've never had before, folks. These have a shelf life of 18 months because you have to cook them. They don't go stale like regular pork rinds, like regular chips. High protein snack. They are great. I really like them. Again, promo code CC15 at atlasgds.com. Same day shipping if you order before 3 p.m. Our poll question today.
Well, hold on. Give me a second here.
Jesus. Oh, yeah. I forgot we spent 3 minutes talking about them.
No, I'll be quick. Send your tweets. Tweet us your pictures.
Yes, we love seeing that.
I've seen a lot. The seasoning. And nobody's tried the nacho version of the pork rinds. I don't know if anybody's going to, but maybe I'll be the one to try the nacho.
I think if anybody's going to, it's going to be you.
Yeah.
You know what I got? Dill pickle popcorn seasoning. A little voice crack there. A little popcorn seasoning. I've been putting it on the popcorn. It's been good. I think I might have tried it on the pork rinds.
Yeah, I'm going to go white cheddar on it.
That's a good call.
White cheddar. Yeah. All right, that's all. I'd say we got to start charging them more if we're going to do these 3 minute ad reads of time. Exactly. I'm keeping it short here.
All right, our question today, how many starts will Yaroslav Halak have through the rest of the season? 0-1, 2-3, 4 or more, and as always, I'm angry. Harmon, let's get your thoughts first.
Boy, this is a tough one. And I think
it's a close race early on. I've seen on the Twitter poll there.
Yep. It's tough because it totally hinges on how fatigued Demko ends up looking like. Because look, if Demko's all right, if he doesn't sort of, if his body doesn't break down and we don't get to a point where he sort of looks just like, if it doesn't get to a point where you're like, okay, we need to give this guy rest, then I would like lean towards 0-1. But because of the schedule and how heavy it is, man, I lean towards 2-3. But I don't feel confident about that at all, to be honest. And I think none of this at this point has anything to do with Halak. It's all about Demko. And I think if it were up to the coaching staff, in an ideal world, it would be 0-1. I just don't know if Demko's body is going to permit them to be able to get down to 0-1 starts for Halak.
I also think there's another outcome here. I know that you said it's all about Demko. I also think I put Spencer Martin in the equation here. I know I talked about him going into the break there, but I also think that, listen, I know that the Canucks and Halak, it's like the situation. He's a veteran guy. Show him some respect, play in the games. But the Canucks need to see if Spencer Martin can be their backup in the NHL next year. Like, the three-game sample size of Martin is unreal, okay? He's not going to be like that every game. He's not going to have – I think he's the – if you look at, like, natural stat trick right now save for 5-on-5 save percentage, he's number one or number two, like, in the NHL. He's not going to be that next year. You need to see Spencer Martin play some games and not have unreal games. You need to see, like, what an average Spencer Martin game looks like, because you're going to get those in the future. You're going to get those next year. And the Canucks need to think – and specifically if they're, like – like, I do think there's going to be a real fun push here to the playoffs. Like, the start of April with the three games in the first 14 days of April against Vegas. Like, those three games can be so exciting. And I do think that, you know, the last game of the year against Edmonton in Edmonton is going to be fun. Like, this is a playoff race. But if things fall off the rails, you really need to get Martin in and basically not play Halak. Like, that's just the way that it is.
That's
like,
what I would do.
You need to look at the future. And I think also, like, from seeing, like, if Halak has one more bad game, it's the end. Like, that's why I think it's 0-1. Because if he plays on Sunday against Buffalo and, say, gives up 5, you know, on, like, 26 shots or something, that's the end. That's the last game. Yeah. Like, I know that he has an NMC, but with Abbotsford so close, Abbotsford has a lot of home games coming up. Like, there's something like a 14-day homestand for Abbotsford at the end of March going into April. Like, you're going to have Martin so close. And I do think that there's a spot where you carry three goaltenders and start him, because you need to see Martin. You need to see what he can do. You need to see his bad games. You need to see a good game. Like, you need to see what Spencer Martin looks like in the NHL, because there is a, like, my idea that I, you know, I think a lot of people have kind of heard this around the team, is that there are conversations about Spencer Martin being the future goaltender to back up Thatcher Demko next year. Because, listen, it isn't Mikey. Arthur Seelovs is still too far away. I don't think they want to go out into free agency again, because that's just not worked. Like, Holtby didn't work. Halak obviously hasn't worked. This is another option that's probably the cheapest option. And you got to see what he can do this year before you can really make that decision. Because though it's a very different spot that Demko will be in next year, because Demko next year is like, I don't think there is much question going into this year, but next year there's absolutely no question that Demko's a number one who you can ride a lot of the season, and you only need 20 games, you know, 20 games, maybe even less than that from Spencer Martin. So you need to see if you can get him to that point. I think Martin needs, you know, 3-4 more games this year. I would bet that Martin plays more games than Halak this for the rest of the year in the NHL.
I like that. I like that a lot.
If there's a, you know, if that's available on some of these bet sites, I think I want to take that, because like, it's got to, it, I don't think it's the easy decision, but I think it's the right decision for the Canucks moving forward with this goaltending situation, that Spencer Martin needs these starts. And he's proved so, like, he's looked so good in the games that he's earned it as well. Like, there's multiple facets to this to make Martin be the easy decision for me. Like, it's not a hard decision. I know that the only thing that's kind of against that decision is like, but the respect that you show to the veteran NHL guy who wants to earn his NHL contract. But, like, sorry, man, but, like, the Canucks need to push as hard as they can for a playoffs. And Demko's going to need a break. I think the better goalie right now, who's proven it this season, is Spencer Martin.
I'm looking forward to the Alan Walsh sword tweet on Yaroslav Halak.
Gosh, that'll be good with Spencer Martin's name on the sword.
Spencer Martin's fault. Spencer Martin gets blamed for everything. Oh, that'd be amazing.
I wonder who Spencer Martin's represented by.
Okay, so our early returns on the poll question, 33% of folks say 0 to 1%. 51% is leading the vote with 2 to 3. And 5% say 4 or more. And 11% say I'm angry. Guys, if I have to give my opinion on this, I voted 0 to 1. I'm part of the 33% that voted 0 to 1. And I think it's just because I think this is going to come right down to the wire. And I don't know if this is a hot take, but I think it's going to be the Oilers and the Canucks that make the playoffs. And I think one of these teams is going to get the wild card spot. The other is getting third in the Pacific. Look, Vegas isn't going to be stepping up anytime soon, I don't think. They've lost 5 straight. They're 3-7 in their last 10. Those are not good numbers. And when you look at Dallas, sure, Dallas has 3 games in hand on the Canucks. But guys, they've lost 3 straight, and their schedule isn't getting much easier. Right now, the Dallas Stars have the Habs on Thursday, the Islanders on Saturday, the Capitals on Sunday, the Oilers on Tuesday, the Hurricanes on Thursday the 24th before they play the Canucks on the 26th. So I think that'll be kind of the game that you're looking at and saying, okay, like what can the Canucks do here? Because these games are going to have playoff implications, right? Like it's not going to be just a cakewalk for either team here, right? And again, like they play again in April, the Canucks and Stars, and you look at Edmonton as well. The last game the Canucks play this season is in Edmonton. That game could have serious playoff implications, whether that be seeding for a wild card spot or third in the Pacific. Because like you said, Harmon, that matters because you don't want to match up against Colorado in the first round. Daryl Sutter, head coach of the Calgary Flames, was talking about it the other day. He said, like, yeah, it's nice to be first in the Pacific because I wouldn't want to be a wild card team going up against Colorado because it's going to be a waste of 8 days. Obviously, the insinuation is it was a great quote.
As he was wearing pajamas on the...
I know, that was so funny. The insinuation obviously being that whoever plays Colorado is going to get swept. Not really a hot take either. Like, you look at Colorado's roster construction, they're pretty deep. So you don't want to be that team going up in the wild card.
I'm cutting the goalie stuff off here and moving forward here.
I was just talking playoffs.
I don't care. Prospects report.
Oh, wow. Okay, go ahead.
Well, unless you got anything else?
Well, do you want to talk about the power play? Like,
yeah, do so. Okay, yeah. We can do the power play.
Thanks. All right, the Canucks power play. 2 defensemen on it right now, guys. Oliver Ekman-Larsson
is shaking his fist at the wind right now.
Oliver Ekman-Larsson is in Elias Pettersson's spot during Pettersson's absence. The Canucks are hoping to get Pettersson back on the homestand. He did skate a couple days ago. Obviously didn't play in the game last night. Isn't expected to play tomorrow. We'll have to see what we see at practice today. But right now, the Canucks power play has Oliver Ekman-Larsson in that spot. Just looks out of place. Your thoughts, Harmon?
Well, how do you think I feel about it? Well, I mean, I started, I think months ago, saying I hated 2 defensemen on the power play when they went to that for the second unit. And what has the second unit been? It's been an absolute train wreck. I mean, have they? I'd be really curious to see the on ice numbers using Brad Hunt as a proxy, because boy, that second unit is like, it's essentially at this point a waste of 20 to 30 seconds when they hop over the boards. And right, so on the first unit, I mean, I wouldn't even hate it if Oliver Ekman-Larsson was somehow manning the point. He's just not a flank player. Like, I just don't see it. And I made this point before. If you're a flank player, you've either got to have an elite shot or you've got to have elite vision or elite passing. Penalty killers have to respect you in some sort of way. If I'm a penalty killer right now, I don't have any respect for Oliver Ekman-Larsson on the right flank. I'm not afraid of his shot. He has no one-timer. Doesn't really have much of a strong wrist shot. He's not dynamic enough to thread the needle with cross-seam passes. It's essentially a 4-on-4 with just an extra guy who can finish and can make basic plays. And to his credit, Oliver Ekman-Larsson won't kill you on the power play in the sense that he's not a momentum killer. When he's out there, he's going to be able to move the puck around and kind of facilitate things.
And why it doesn't work on the flank is Oliver Ekman-Larsson does a good job of just getting the puck on net.
Yeah.
That's not what we need from the flank.
Yeah, you can't.
The goaltenders are able to challenge you in that spot when you're on the flank so hard that it's very different.
You're not going
to
get screens there either.
Exactly. And yeah, that's a good point too.
So, yeah, you nailed it. OEL's best attribute is his ability to get pucks through layers of traffic when the goalie is screened. That's just not the job when you're on the flank. And again, he's not killing them in the sense that he's not messing things up. He's not sort of fumbling pucks or turning them over. But it feels a lot like a more of a 4-on-4 and an extra guy who's just there to facilitate and make basic passes back to the point. And it just doesn't work in the current setup. And so for me, you've got to bump up someone like Connor Garland and figure out some sort of setup, I think, because again, you guys know I hate three forwards and two power or 2D on a power play. I just think you need four forwards, especially on your top unit. And the Canucks have enough talent for it, right? Especially even when you want to talk about the ramifications for the second unit, we've barely seen Pod Colson and Hoglander on the power play, and both those guys have been really efficient 5-on-5 scorers. Like since the 2020 season, Hoglander, I think, is second among Canucks forwards in 5-on-5 goals. Pod Colson has found the score sheet a fair amount of times this season at 5-on-5 too.
Those guys. He's one of the only four guys, I think, at even strength who has double-digit goals.
Yeah, and so to me, those young guys have earned second-unit opportunities, and that should facilitate someone like Connor Garland stepping up onto the top unit.
Yeah, I find it so, like, and I, Harm, you brought this up. I feel like last year was the time that I first heard you bring this take up, but having Besser be on his downhill side, on the right flank, it's obviously a different look. Maybe that's the thing that's not the reason why OEL might be there is because he's a left shot guy and they want the one timer, but it just doesn't work. To me, like, Besser has been pretty good at the net front presence, really impressive. Would you go with Garland on the right flank, which is a spot he played in Arizona on their first power play unit? Like, that is where he started every power play for Arizona last year, was on that right flank. He has a lot of time over his career playing in that exact role. That I wonder if it's because he's a righty and it really changes the look of what that right flank does when you switch to a right-handed shot.
Yeah, although because of OEL in that spot, it's the right flank isn't, I don't think, really has a real, like, there's no main threat there, right? Like before, when it's Pettersson, it's the one timer or in other situations, maybe you have that guy as a playmaking threat. So I wouldn't be too worried about the handedness there, just because
you're not losing anything. One timer, yeah,
yeah, exactly, right? Like that's the main sort of advantage there is your one timer side. You can take one timers. That's not what OEL is going to be doing. So I wouldn't mind seeing Garland on the downhill side, leave Besser at the net front where he's been finding success. And then you can kind of play, you have at least, I think, some options there in terms of how you can approach it. But OEL just doesn't, to me, look like a flank player. And I mean, knowing this, he's probably going to score next game now on the power play just because we spent this entire segment talking about it. But in the long run, again, I just don't think it works.
Yeah, and I think the thing we've all kind of thought about is, you know, you have a vested interest in making Vasily Podkolzin or Nils Hoglander our power play, not specialist, but able to play on your power play, right? And, you know, for all the talk that's been made of, oh, it's so hard to learn the bumper position, it's so hard to learn the net front, the only way to do it is by getting reps, get the young guys some reps, right?
Yeah, so, and you know what? Like, to make the argument against two defensemen, like, I'd love to see Hoglander or Podkolzin play the net front or play the bumper position, but, like, when I'm saying that I'd rather have Chiasson or Pearson on the first power play unit instead of OEL, like, that's saying something. Because, like, yeah, you know, I don't think that those are guys that you want on your first power play unit. But in this situation, I'd prefer it. Like, I think moving Besser to the right flank and putting either Pearson or Chiasson, like, Chiasson's here to do this, right? Like, I don't think he should be there on the first power play unit when everyone's healthy. But right now, he should be. Like, this should be the reason why Chiasson is in the lineup. Like, I would still rather have, like, like Will Lockwood or even Phil DiGiuseppe before going down with the injury than Chiasson in the lineup right now. But in this situation, when there is an injury on your first power play unit, this is the time where you put Chiasson in the lineup. This is the time where you get as much as you can out of this low contract that you have with Alex Chiasson, because this is where he brings value. And it is strange to me that we don't see it.
Yeah. Okay. Close it out with the prospect report, Chris.
Okay. Where do we want to start? We'll start out in Abbotsford with some injuries. Okay, Justin Bailey, from what I hear, it's an upper body injury. He's not going to be back until the start of April. And from what it sounds like and how it's dealing with complications with the doctors, it leans towards the idea that it's likely that shoulder that he had surgery on. And that's just, man, Like he's dealt with that shoulder for years. He got the surgery this offseason to not worry about it anymore. It'd be really unfortunate if that's the thing that's letting him down. All we know for sure is that it's upper body and he's going to be reevaluated at the end of the month. And their hope is that they get him back at the start of April, but they're really missing him out now. It's for Phil DiGiuseppe. Quads, I know you you probably heard this through the Italian grapevine, but he was out on crutches yesterday. So it looks like a fractured foot, I believe Dhaliwal reported. I saw him out in crutches yesterday. It's going to be a while for him. It's going to be a few weeks for sure. On top of that, Ashton Sautner, Guillaume Brisebois still injured out there in Abbotsford. And then want to bring up Will Lockwood, who, man, like he was just a step and a half faster than everyone in that AHL game that I watched on Wednesday or on Tuesday night. He was so fast. Like, and just talking about him, about how confident he's feeling about his penalty killing. Like I do think the Canucks need to see him pretty soon here in the NHL. Like I also heard some things about Tyler Mott. I think Friedman reported that the Leafs were interested. I heard otherwise, that the Leafs have not made contact with the Canucks about Tyler Mott, but that I don't think things are going positive in a re-signing of Tyler Mott either. I think he is going to get traded. Like, I know that I've heard Drantz every day on the Canucks Hour, because I've been producing it all the last couple of weeks, talk about it being like an own buy for the Canucks or something, that they're basically like not selling him as like their own buy at the deadline. But I think that they are still going to move Mott. I still think that the management group is going to like look towards the future and take, I know people are like, oh, but we don't want to just get a third round pick. I think you can make a really good difference with a third round pick. And I do think that like using that on a defenseman for this team who needs defense prospects, you can find defensemen in the third round. So I think there's value there to move on from it, or potentially even look at like a prospect, because I think that a lot of these teams, we've seen trades happen now where teams are starting to gear up and round out what they want their playoff roster to look like. I still think Mott's going to be moved before the deadline. I know that a lot of people are saying, oh, he's going to stand still. I personally believe that he's going to end up getting moved here at the deadline. Other thing I want to bring up, because I was out in Abbotsford, and I've heard this name like a few times as the season's gone on, but it's really interesting because now that I'm on like the NCAA free agent train right now and trying to learn everything I can about these guys, I've had two different agents bring up Mackenzie Braid's name, who's the skating coach out in Abbotsford. And I think I've praised him quite a bit on this podcast in the past, but to hear his name brought up from agents about like a reason why they might want to sign with the Vancouver Canucks is because they know that their players who need to work on skating have heard about the rep that Mackenzie Braid has as the skating coach out in Abbotsford. I even heard Jet Wu bring it up yesterday, because I asked Jet about, you know, getting back into the pace of a game, and he said, yeah, but like a bittersweet part of him being injured was how much time he got to spend with Mackenzie Braid and how much better his skating feels after just like working on a different stride and certain things. So like, what the Canucks have out there in Abbotsford and Mackenzie Braid is something that's being like talked about around the hockey world, apparently, which is really good. And that's a good spot for like to see these players like Jet Wu, Danila Klimovich work on their skating and spend all this time with Mackenzie Braid. To think that NCAA and WHL, CHL like free agents are thinking Vancouver's a landing spot because of their skating coach in the AHL, that's a huge boost to them. And I think that that's going to help guys like, you know, Rutherford and Alvin obviously want to get some of these players in because it helps your prospect pool. I think Mackenzie Braid's going to help draw people into this organization, which is huge, because like he's the AHL skating coach. Like, this shouldn't be like a reason. It doesn't, to me, it doesn't feel like a reason why you'd want to go sign with an organization, but his name's been brought up to me multiple times now, and even to hear it from players yesterday. So I think that's great, and it kind of bodes well for the name that I keep hearing the Vancouver Canucks connected to is Brandon Scanlon, who, like, you know, it's wild because like I wrote about this guy being the perfect fit for the Canucks to sign an NCAA free agency, and now the name keeps coming up. I don't think there's going to be a decision in the next 24 hours, but it's coming soon. Like, I think teams want to be able to lock in their free agents here before the deadline, because if you sign an NCAA free agent before the trade deadline, that is when they can play in a game and burn off a year of their ELC. So the NCAA guys want to sign before Monday. That they are, unless they're still playing playoff games, then they might be guys that jump straight into the NHL. But guys in situations that are undrafted and want to burn off 1 year, teams that are out of the playoff spot are still like promising these NCAA guys that they can burn off 1 year. So all they do is play one game in the NHL all year long, and that burns off the year, right? So then they mostly play in the AHL. But other teams like the Canucks, they're not promising that. The Canucks right now are just saying, like, hey, you'll get your AHL time. You'll be on that three-year entry-level contract. They aren't promising. That's what I've heard. The Canucks aren't giving out the contracts that burn off years of their ELC to these NCAA guys that are available right now.
But also, in thinking about that, unless you're a really, really high pedigree prospect and you know for a fact that you're going to carve out an NHL career, is there a ton of appeal? And I'm curious to get your thoughts on this. Is there a ton of appeal to even burning off that first year? If you're like, I'm just thinking about it, if I'm a fringe guy who is trying to make the NHL, is there a ton of value added going to a non-playoff team just to burn that off? I totally see it for if you're a top prospect.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm curious.
Yeah. You know, I'm curious as well. Like, this is just what I'm hearing is that teams are offering, like, I bring up Nick Blankenberg, speaking to his representatives, like teams, I don't know for sure, but I'm guessing it's teams like Buffalo,
yeah,
Ottawa, yeah, Detroit that are like, we'll give you a shot in the NHL to burn off the ELC. I just know that it's something that an agent brought up to me as mm-hmm. part of the discussions that teams are having right now with players. Right. It's part of the offer sort of right. that they're giving them is like, we'll give you NHL games this year. We want you to get to the NHL, but hey, we'll give you it like this year. That's kind of part of the offer, right. I think, that's drawing people in.
Right. It must be more the NHL games than the burning.
Yeah, I don't think the burning is a big part of it. I think it is just getting to the NHL and proving they can do something in the
sense.
NHL. The other thing that it's just like, you know, teams have to players have to evaluate these free agents. They have to evaluate what the situation obviously is. You know, Arshdeep Baines looks at the Canucks wingers that they have down in Abbotsford, and he says, I can probably play in the middle six this year and work my way from there. That's why he signs here in Vancouver. As well as I talked to Arshdeep on Monday. Good conversation. And I guess I can put it out there now. The article will be running for the Canucks next week. So excited about that article. But, you know, there's a lot of connections with this organization that have worked that way. I'm starting to get the same feeling with Brandon Scanlon. Like, I really hope that this is the spot that he wants, because I think a lot of his camp and the group that, you know, represents him thinks that Vancouver is a good option. And it's going to be the ultimate decision is going to come down to Scanlon. But as a 6'4", big lefty who's mean as hell, and there's a spot for him to play right now in Abbotsford, I'm feeling pretty optimistic about the Canucks being able to land this guy who's potentially the top defenseman coming out of NCAA right now as a free agent. Like, I think he might be the number one.
Yeah. And you've been writing about this at Canucks Army. So folks, go read Canucks Army. Lots of good stuff, obviously, from you on the prospect stuff. And you had your little piece with JT Miller. I shouldn't call it your little piece. You've been working on it for like two years. Yeah. Your little piece you did there, Harmon. But you want to talk about that before we close out?
Yeah, no, it was awesome. And I think it'll make for a great conversation, maybe in the off season or something, or when there's less to talk about, just to kind of get into it. But basically it was just kind of the full story of, you know, I spent, I think, months tracking down Miller, his parents, his teammates, his coaches, and it's kind of just like the inside story of how he finally broke out as a star in Vancouver. And it goes through how he was immature, young and dumb, in his own words, in New York, and, you know, told stories about how he missed curfew, ironically, in Vancouver on the road. And was like sent home early from the trip, and how that like second pro year was like a living hell for him. Talked about watching the Cup Finals when he was with the Rangers from the press box, and how much that sort of hurt him, and how that sort of powered him. And then talked a lot about his competitive drive and learning to control his emotions and just the way he's wired, and why he's been able to find success in Vancouver where he maybe hasn't in previous stops. And it was just so fun and insightful to really dive deep into this, and kind of just it's basically the oral history of his roller coaster NHL career in an unfiltered way, where I've like never heard people usually aren't this honest about what the journey's like.
Totally.
And he talked about highs and lows and how much it sucked being in the AHL and all that. So
that's really a lot of fun. I haven't read it this morning. It's been too early of a morning, but I'll definitely be reading it as soon as I get to Sportsnet for my shift here. But I just think it's so cool because this is a player who we look at now and you know, maybe this story hasn't been told. So that's why I'm really excited.
Yeah.
I think you've been working on this for a long time, Harm. I know it's gonna.
And crush, he talked about like how much it meant, even getting the alternate captain going into this season. Like it legitimately means a world to him, because he just explained like I never thought I could get to this point. Like he just straight up said like I never thought I could get to this point where, I mean, even his mom said, he's like to think that. That a team and a coach would believe in him enough as a leader to give him an A when not many years ago that would have been the last thing somebody put on his jersey. Like that turnaround just means so much for him and his family, and so that was really cool, and he's loving it in Vancouver. So it was a make you feel warm and fuzzy type thing.
Good stuff. Yeah, I'm excited to read it as well. All right, we'll close it out there. For my co-hosts, Chris Faber and Harmon Dial, my name is David Quadrelli. Thank you so much for listening to another episode of The Canucks Conversation.
Thanks for listening to Canucks Conversation, delivered by DoorDash. Hit the subscribe button to never miss an episode.
How about keep it to a thank you, Jim?
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The playoffs are near and we have an army. Nation Gear is ready to gear you up for Vancouver's playoff run. Rep your favorite team as they battle for the cup. Shop the exclusive We Have an Army playoff tee and more at nationgear.ca.